And in one of the Charlie Brown cartoons, Lucy was philosophizing about life in general to Charlie Brown. And she says, life is a bit like a deck chair. When you're sitting on the deck sailing on a ship, you can either place your chairs so they're facing the rear of the ship, so you can see where you've been, or other people face their chairs forward, so they can see where they are going. And so Lucy then says, on the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? And Charlie Brown replies, I've never been able to get one unfolded. Perhaps you feel that way. Perhaps you're struggling to unfold your deck chair and you don't feel ready for the journey from 2017 into 2018. Having just come to the end of 2017, we've got that choice of either placing our deck chairs at the stern or at the bow of the boat. And this morning I'd like to do spend a little bit of time to do both, to look backwards and forwards, rather like Dr. Doolittle's Push Me, Pull You. The Push Me, Pull You, if you haven't actually encountered it before, is a fascinating deer-like creature in the wonderful children's picture books about Dr. Doolittle, which are based on the stories written by Hugh Lofting. Now, the Push Me, Pull You has no tail, and instead he's got two horns, or he's got two heads with horns, and one head looks forwards and the other head looks backwards. And after being caught with the help of African monkeys, the Push Me Pull You became a very useful member of Dr. Doolittle's crew as he sailed the seas. He could be on watch with one head while the other one slept. Or he could perch precariously on the top of the mast and be the lookout for danger from pirates, perhaps, either in front of them or behind them. Now, this idea of looking back and looking forward, you'll also find it in the Bible. And Paul does it in that passage which David read a little earlier from Philippians chapter 3, where he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And when we look back over the last year, many of us, I think, will probably be conscious that we didn't live our lives as we should have done, as we would like to have done. That we failed repeatedly in all sorts of different ways. And we can easily be tempted to become discouraged, can't we? With the realization that God's standards are way above us. Many Christians, at some point, they get inspired or challenged by a word from the Lord, whether it's a preached word or a read word from Scripture. And they've gone out and maybe they bought the best Bible they could, the most relevant and up-to-date translation of all. And then they brought in commentaries and other sort of helps to enable them to study the Bible more conscientiously and get organized in the practice of reading the Bible and being obedient to the Lord. And a few months later, those Bibles and commentaries are sitting on the shelf, gathering dust. And you look at them and you say, one day I am going to do this. And because I think most of us aspire to a kind of a genuine transformation in at least some areas of our lives. We have tried to change and failed. It's the problem with New Year's resolutions, isn't it? We've failed so many times that we are tempted to despair. Now, this is the critical point in the Christian life when you experience this. And unfortunately, many, many Christians resolve the tension by settling for less than God's best. I don't know if you've heard the little rhyme or you're familiar with it. When I was young, I set my goal as far as I could see. But now I'm nearer to my goal, I've moved it nearer me. And a new year is always a good time not only to look back and to consider the decisions and the resolutions which will affect our future. It's also a good time to look back and take stock and see whether we have really grasped what God has been wanting to teach us in 2017. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning looking at or sharing just a few things in Scripture which tell us in what areas we ought to have grown spiritually over the past 12 months. And now you probably know Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's quoted so frequently that it's unfortunately to some extent become a little bit of a hackneyed cliche, which is used as a kind of panacea for all situations. You know the verse, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But whenever that verse is quoted, it's very rarely that the next verse after it is also quoted. And yet it's that verse that tells us in what way things work together for good for Christians. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says that it is in order to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, God can use every experience of your life, even the trials and the tribulations, even the heartaches and the sorrows, to make us more like Jesus. If only we let him. He purges an awful lot of sin out of our lives, and that makes room for the things that really count: the patience, the love, the character of Jesus in you. So, as you look back on 2017, can you look back and say, the problems of this last year have made me more dependent on Jesus? And in being more dependent on him, I'm a little bit more like Jesus than I was this time last year. So the first question to ask ourselves is quite simply, am I just a little bit more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ than I was before? And then secondly, do I have more faith than I had a year ago? It seems easy to have faith when we have wonderful and dramatic answers to prayer. But that faith only really grows when it is tested. When at times you have to wait for the answer. When occasions happen when you don't seem to be getting any answer. When things don't turn out as you expected. I'm sure that your faith has been tested during the past year. But has it grown in the face of that testing? You know, I think growing in faith is a bit like going to Weight Watchers. Every year in January, hundreds of people up and down this country are going to enroll in Weight Watchers to get rid of the flab. Apparently, the average person consumes 7,000 calories on Christmas Day. If that figure doesn't mean much to you, the healthy daily amount for an adult is 2,000 calories. And the consequence is that many of us have a much more restricted view of our feet. As they say, those who indulge begin to bulge. So we go to Weight Watchers in January with a new resolution. We're going to have a healthy lifestyle this year. And after the first couple of sessions, we say, hang on a minute. Exercise hurts. You see, your muscles only get stronger and become more robust as they are exercised. And faith is very much like a muscle. It remains flabby until it is exercised. And very often it's the testing times in life, the times that we don't like, the difficult times, that is what serves to exercise your faith. So we mustn't give up. The Apostle Paul says, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Which means trusting God in the face of all our questions. Trusting God with the blueprint of our future. So has the Lord been able to teach you to exercise just that little bit more faith in Him over this past year? A third question. Do we know the Lord any better because of all the experiences that we have been through in 2017? In John chapter 7, it says that eternal life is knowing God. And what better way is there to get to know Him than to spend time with Him and to depend on Him? And unfortunately, the only times that most of us depend on Him is when we have to depend on Him. And it might be that our trials and our problems and the sufferings that we go through are a means that God uses whereby we will come to Him in dependence, so that we can see and feel and know His sustaining grace in a way which otherwise we would never really grasp when everything is going smoothly and well. And then the fourth thing. The Bible tells us is that if you've been through trials, sufferings, difficulties, sorrows, and I know many of you have in this past year, we should come out with a better perspective of heaven. You see, the Bible encourages us to look forwards as well as back. And here in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Set your heart on things above, not on earthly things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And the fact is, when everything in life is rosy and trouble-free, we are never very much interested in setting our affections on the heavenly glories above, because we are far too interested in the passing things of this earth. They are very appealing, they are very exciting, and they actually a bit more tangible than the heavenly glories above to our earthly minds. And who wants to think about heaven when life's like that? Somebody once said, "Heaven is the place that everyone wants to go to, but not yet." But the difficulties and the trials of this life prepare us for that day when we meet Jesus. Can you imagine standing before Jesus, before the one who suffered so much to secure my salvation, the one who was flogged and beaten and spat upon, who was persecuted and crucified? Can you imagine standing before him, never having suffered yourself? When you have gone through deep waters with Christ, you're able to say with much deeper appreciation and gratitude, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Because since I have suffered a little bit on earth, I have a better understanding of how deep your pain must have been and the cost of bearing the price of my sin." Can you say that today? Those are the questions to be asking yourself. You see, the most important thing about 2017 for you and for me is not what we did, but what we became. Whether your life was exciting and you went round the world and you did this and that and the other, it's not really that important. I don't know, you get these annual Christmas letters that are a bit like a Cook's World Tour, where your wealthy friends tell you that they have been on this excursion and this cruise and this trip and this holiday to somewhere or other, and they take you on a quick tour around the world of all their holidays. And it doesn't actually matter where you've been so much as what you've become. Doesn't matter whether you were stuck in one little office or shop, or whether you had to stay at home and look after aged parents. Whatever you had to do, the important thing is not what you did, but what you became. And when you're frustrated about your circumstances, and you hear about these exciting, distant places, going on pilgrimages to Israel and other exciting things that people do, when you hear about all of that and you feel, "Oh, I'm just stuck here," just remember that at the end of the day, God will say, "Not What did you do? But what did you become? It doesn't really matter whether you are rich or poor this coming year, or whether you have a lot of friends or just a very few, whether you get a better job or you stay doing the same work that you have done for the last however many years. What matters is what you will become in 2018. And we are now standing right on the threshold of that new year. So can I ask you the question which I've had to ask my heart? And it's simply this. How much did you grow in 2017? Not what did you do, not what exciting places did you visit, not what interesting things have you experienced this year, but how much did you grow? If you grew, then the year's been worthwhile. Doesn't matter if nobody heard about you, it's been worthwhile. But if you didn't grow more like Jesus, then that year's been a waste of time. You see, the real need is for a new you, a new me. New years themselves come and go. But if the new year brings a new you, that's the change that we need. Circumstances may vary, but if by the grace of God we are given a new heart, a new mind, a new heavenly perspective, then whatever happens during this coming year will be something that we can handle better. So can I close by reminding you of how at the end of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, it says this: Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And if you are to measure the growth and the progress in your own Christian life, you must measure it not by what you did, but by what you became. And you sang a week ago at Christmas those words from the carol, "For he is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew." May God grant that it can be said of you at the end of 2018, if you're still here, or if the Lord hasn't come, that day by day, like him, you grew. Amen.